Many people carry a paralyzing burden of guilt for past sins. What's worse, they see no way out of their predicaments. These people don't run in the race of life. They plod at best. Beset by the crushing load of self-blame, they face each new day with yesterday's emotional baggage. Today, you'll hear God's way out of bearing guilt for the rest of your life. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer is continuing his series on After You've Blown It, Reconnecting with God and Others. He comes now to tell us about the guilt you can't wish away.
Well, tell me, man to man, is there a way out or isn't there? If there is, I want to know about it. If not, I'm going to blow my brains out. Those are the words of a man, a bisexual, who had just given his wife AIDS. She wasn't about to forgive him because of his lies and his deceptions and his dishonesty. And now he wondered what the future held. Is there a way out or is there not? As you know, this is a series of messages titled After You've Blown It, Reconnecting with God and Others. Today we're speaking about reconnecting with God, and we will do that for a few more messages in this series, and then we'll talk about the reconnection with other people. How do you live when others might not forgive you? How do you untangle messes for which you are responsible? But today we speak about the topic of guilt and our relationship with God. Because guilt is the most universal of all human emotions, feelings, and experiences. Guilt tells me that I have done something wrong. There is an ought to which I have not responded, and I've not lived up to the ought that I know I really should do. There is such a thing as false guilt. Sometimes children who are abused feel guilty simply because they were born. They feel guilty because their parents heap guilt upon them. But there is also something that we can call real guilt. It is objective guilt. It is us in the presence of God, the consciousness that we are out of sorts with the Almighty. And within our consciences, there is something within us that tells us we must pay. Pay up, our conscience tells us. Now, society has no answer to the problem of guilt, none whatever. Society basically says that if we lower the standards and simply say that everyone does it, why then indeed we'll be able to alleviate people of guilt. Maybe they can unlearn the feeling. But still, even after all of that, there's something within us that says you still owe, you must pay, pay more. Or society tells us that if we blame other people, it's society's fault. It's the society that created an atmosphere in which I have to lie, I have to cheat, I have to steal, and I'm immoral because this is what society dictates. And yet at the end of the day, all of us know that despite all those rationalizations, there's still that voice within us that says, you've still not paid enough. Pay more. And so what do? We try to rationalize the voice away. We say to ourselves, if I can find somebody who is worse than I am, and generally that's not too difficult to do, someone who's a greater sinner, why then indeed I will feel better because I'm not so bad after all. But it does not silence the voice. And then there are those who think that they can even the score by being good. I have a friend who said that when he came home from school and mowed the lawn without being told, his mother used to say, well, what have you been up to now? She simply assumed that the boy was trying to cover for something. There are young people who've gone into drugs and immorality, and then They've gone into social work and they have said, look at, I'm devoting my life to the poor. I'm working in social work. And what they don't realize is they're trying to even the score. They're trying to say, okay, I've done this over here, but here's something I can do to prove I'm really not all that bad, am I? But down deep inside, the voice still says, pay more, pay more. And so what happens in today's world especially is people choose a method of payment that only increases the intensity of the voice. They go into drugs and alcohol. A chaplain said to a young man in a hospital, a brilliant young man, why are you killing yourself with heroin? And he said, chaplain, you ought to know the answer to that question. I should not have to tell you why. He said, I feel so badly about things that I've done, and I don't have enough guts to blow my brains out, so I am dying slowly by using heroin. I'm dying on the installment plan. So people choose a way to silence the voice, to make the payment that only increases the intensity of the voice and increases the intensity and the need for a payment. And so people pay up, but they pay with their lives and their hearts. In a book on guilt, William Justice wrote, for every failure to live up to some ought, there is the tendency to punish oneself in such a manner so as to produce another failure. And every failure produces the response, I ought not to have failed. Having failed, I punish myself in such a manner as to produce a further sense of failure. My cycle is complete only to begin again. I have failed to live up to some ought for which I feel guilty. Convicted of guilt, I feel the need to pay. To pay, I choose a method that will leave me with a sense of having failed. On and on, the cycle rolls downward. It may be compared to a snowball rolling down a hill, adding to its momentum with each revolution. He calls it the cycle of the damned. What else is hell but an awakened conscience with no ability to pay? Forever. I've known people who have married badly, married unwisely, married against all reason, and have not taken into account admonitions. And they have married that way because there was something within them that says, I don't deserve to be happy, so I'm going to marry somebody who is going to make me as miserable as I deserve to be. And so they are working out their guilt because of that little voice that says, you're a wretch, you're dirty, and you have to pay for your dirt. Guilt is a God-sized problem, but thankfully it has a God-sized solution. In the Old Testament, there is a remarkable story. It's found in the book of Zechariah. Zechariah is one of the prophets that comes close to the Old Testament ending. If you take your Bible and find the division between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and then you just go back a piece, you'll find the prophet Zechariah. And in this passage of Scripture, he has a vision in which there are three participants, and thankfully, the vision helps us understand the nature of guilt. And it has within it the potential to teach us how to be free of the guilt that continues to say, pay up. Your debt can be paid up. You'll notice that there are three participants, as I mentioned, and the first one is Joshua. Now, this Joshua is to be distinguished from the Joshua who was alive during the time of Moses. This is an entirely different time period. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. The Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this man a burning stick snatched from the fire? Now Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes as he stood before the angel. Let's stop there for a moment. The first participant is Joshua, the high priest. If you were to compare men among men, I'm sure that he would be one of the more righteous men of his era and of his community. When it says that he was standing before the Lord, the Hebrew text means that he was doing his priestly duties in the presence of the Lord. And yet I want you to notice that he is dressed in filthy garments. The Hebrew text here is very explicit. It refers to excrement. It means that Joshua is exceedingly dirty and filthy. That's a good word, filthy. And he's standing before the Lord. Sin in the Bible is often represented as a disease. Oftentimes it is also represented as uncleanness. So here he stands in the presence of the Lord. What do you think he would like to do in the presence of the Lord? Well, of course, what he would really want to do is to flee, to get out of there, to get away from the presence of the Lord God. All of his desires would have wanted that as he stood there burning with shame. I don't know about you, but sometimes we are so conscious of the way in which we dress. One time I was invited to an event. My wife and I were invited, and I really dressed down. I thought it was going to be casual, and everyone that was there was formal. And all evening, I kind of felt that everybody was looking at me. I felt very self-conscious. Imagine walking into an environment like that, dressed with filthy, filthy garments. Imagine, because what we really have here is Joshua's heart exposed visually. How would you like it if everyone who came to church this morning was dressed in garments, and on those garments were written for all to see every thought that you have had about other people this week, totally exposed? I think our attendance would be down on that particular Sunday. And my dear friend, our attendance would be down on that particular Sunday, wouldn't it? Because when you stop to think of it, not a one of us would want to have our thoughts exposed to others. We would all want to live on a desert island with no one around us. And yet, keep in mind that God sees us the way in which we are. That's why David prayed in Psalm 51 that you desire truth in the inward parts. Well, today, my friend, I want you to know that God wants to meet you in the deepest part of your longing. He wants to meet you in your desires. He wants to meet you at the very point in which you and I fail. And his cleansing and his forgiveness is extended to all of us. I hope that you join us tomorrow, because we are going to be talking again about Joshua the high priest. And we'll be mentioning how the Lord had for him a whole new set of garments representing the righteousness of Jesus Christ that is credited to our account. God's will is that you and I live without guilt. The provision is there. Let's learn how we can take advantage of what God offers us.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. That was Dr. Erwin Lutzer talking with us about part one of The Guilt You Can't Wish Away, the second of six messages in his series on After You've Blown It, Reconnecting with God and Others. Tomorrow, join us for more on God's Remedy for Man's Guilt. Running to Win comes to you from Chicago's Moody Church to help you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. This current series can be yours on CD, cassette, and MP3. Also, it's in print as a Multnomah Life Change book. For full information, call toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Write to Dr. Lutzer at Running to Win, 1609 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Our website is at runningtowin.org. Don't forget, this broadcast is supported by listeners like you. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for tomorrow's Running to Win.